Hey guys,
I
know we've been trying to do this episode forever. You guys want to do Churchman Ken instead?
Yes!
Welcome to That Time We Started an Anime Podcast. Here are your hosts. Josh Keck. Adam Hart. And Danny Steinbreaker. Where has all the time gone?
Can someone tell me I'm listening at all our life? Hey, everybody. What's up, guys?
How's it going?
I am
pretty good, guys. How are y'all?
Not too bad. I am so glad we don't have to do our old intro anymore.
It's a lot easier. We don't step on each other.
So much fun.
Yeah, but
messing it up every time.
And then the awkward silences that I, editing Josh, would have to edit out sometimes. Unless it's really good, I leave it in.
What awkward silences?
I tell you what, though, when Backup John and I did the Churchman Ken episode, if you guys listen to our outro, it's just absolutely hilarious. I caught him off guard, so I left that silence in. I had to.
I heard that.
I had to. It was just so funny. But anyways, that's not what we're here for. This is an episode that, should have actually been.
We've been trying to do for such a long time.
Yeah,
I think it's been on the calendar since like last summer.
Yeah, yeah. It keeps getting pushed back, pushed back.
So we're finally doing the Rising of the Shield Hero.
Yes, we are.
Hey guys, I know we've been trying to do this episode forever. You guys want to do Churchman Ken instead?
Yes!
Oh my god, I thought you would never ask. All right, let's go. Just go jump. Let's
scrap all the other plans.
We'll watch 8 episodes of Churchman Ken and then we'll come right back.
But seriously, we're finally doing the Shield Hero.
Although, hey, real quick though, Dini. Will you join us on a Churchman Ken episode? You, me, John, and Adam.
Potentially. I do not make promises.
Because we could really use your input. Okay, guys, you heard it first.
Potentially.
Hold up. He said maybe. That wasn't a definite yes on Churchman Ken.
No. All right, so Rising of the Shield Hero is basically an isekai. Pretty similar to some of the stuff that we've watched. I don't know. And then we've covered some isekais as well.
I mean, our name is based on an isekai.
Yes, it is. And there are some other I was saying it fine just a minute ago. Isekais. That we would like to also cover down the road. But, you know, they're all kind of similar in a way. Hear me out. Some of them, obviously, you know, would be like a video game based. Sometimes it's something else. This one, happened to be more book related, where our main character Malfony was actually like in a library or a bookstore and just reading through a book and ends up getting transported into another world. But the whole same thing is that something happens and now you're in another world, basically. But, you know, how that happens, you know, is usually different, or similar, depending on, you know, which isekai that you're watching. So
90% of them involves death.
That too. That too.
Yeah, yeah. And other ones require the subordinate to wipe their hard drive by dropping into into a tub of water, like they're going to do with Josh's computer when we're all up and done with this.
Still concerns me that he needs that.
Oh my god. So
anyway,
so I literally just finished rewatching season one actually about a half hour ago, and I kind of went ahead and started watching a little bit of the first episode of the second season, because I couldn't remember if I actually got on or not, and I realized I didn't, so and I can't wait to cover that in another episode. But
well, the second and third season are only 12 episodes apiece, give or take.
It'd be a lot easier to talk about those.
First season is 25 episodes, which,
oh yeah,
granted, you have to set up a whole lot of stories for season one,
mm-hmm.
With different things happening. Season two could shed a lot of the dead weight of season one. I think there was when we finally finished way back when watching season one, they were talking, season one is kind of controversial because of three different aspects of the anime, which isn't great. The fact that within the first episode, Naofumi is accused of raping the first princess of the country of Malamark, which he didn't do. The other one is how he obtained Reptilia. And the third one would be like, oh, like, say, Naofumi sees Reptilia and Philo as like either party members or almost treats them as like a father-daughter relationship, while Philo and Reptilia don't see Naofumi the same way Naofumi sees them. So it does get a little uncomfortable at times when those things do come up. And even the second season of this anime, one of his party members decides to get one of the crests that Reptilia and Philo get. So, and from what I understand, that doesn't stop happening. The game mechanics of this show is a little strange.
I
know.
I would agree.
For me, it just, so I like Shield Hero in a lot of ways. It tells a decent story. One thing that I always get caught up on, especially like when I start rewatching the early seasons, is just the slavery, like in the way that they do it too, because it's like it doesn't get better even going into the later seasons. You have his newer party member that's like, oh well, I can be like confident and more myself if I'm your slave and you're my master and you tell me what to do. It's like, no, we don't need to do this for everyone.
No,
I mean, I guess the only thing that would offset that, and I'm not endorsing it whatsoever. We live in the United States at 2024, so we abolished that a long time ago. But it's like the mechanic is like, oh, the person gets a boost if that happens. Like, it still doesn't make any sense whatsoever why it should be included within, like, with at least one. But because of the events of what happened in the first season within the first episode, I do understand why for at least Reptilia. I don't understand with Philo or with the other that other party member why it had to happen. And even after the the duel, and I know he's a creep. I know most people don't exactly like it, but where the shield, where the spear hero is coming from, I agree with the shield hero, or not the shield hero, Moriyatsu, the spear hero, about like freeing Raphtilia after the duel happened, what's
her name? You have to understand though too, is that the older princess, she's the one that was manipulating him.
I agree with that.
Yes, but honestly, like, you're right with Reptilia. You know, Malfoy didn't have much of a choice. However, you know, honestly, the way he acts, he doesn't really like act as a slave owner. So that's one thing. And I'm pretty sure in history you have your bad and your good slave owners. I'm sure there were slave owners that were, you know, kind and everything. So
yeah, but is it something that's necessarily needed in this story, or is it something that we could have told a similar story without having to go into this detail? And even if you couldn't tell the story without the Reptilia side of it, all right, sure, maybe she always had to be this for whatever reason on the story. Why did it have to be continued into every other party member so far?
No, yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, unless they maybe may not have, the concept of the fact that, you know, if they're linked as a party, obviously, you know, you're going to be able to see their stats. You guys can level up, you know, quicker, stuff like that. If maybe they had done it, I would say similar but different way. Like,
okay, Josh, how well versed are you with the Pokemon video games?
Not very versed.
Okay, then you'll probably understand where I'm coming from with what I was about to say. They could have like an equipped kind of thing, like the experience share thing that was introduced, I think was like, was it Gen 2, Gen 3 or so? I think it was Gen 1 probably had like, no, you couldn't equip on, you could equip with Gen 1, but the experience share thing that you equip a party member onto that thing, or even later on the game that, later on in the game, your Pokemon team, which actually this is not a very good one-to-one reference, but whatever, your Pokemon would gain experience. Like, if one of them battled, the other Pokemon would still gain the experience that one got.
So they do already have a system like that in place. When you watch like Raftalia fight in with Malphamy,
yeah,
and it's like she'll gain like 23 experience popping one of the orange balloons, but Malphamy will gain 19.
Right.
So it's like they do kind of have that already going with the party system, which I do appreciate the fact that they're showing the XP gains as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And honestly, I think that in that time, I mean, you have to look at least for that world, I mean, it kind of sucks that there's that there was slavery, but I think the fact that later on in season one, Reptilia in a way does get, well, for lack of a better word, revenge. However, she was going to show him mercy, but you know.
Oh no, she did actually show him mercy. It's just that guy messed up by that. And she didn't directly get him to go out the window. She tripped on that bullwhip to do that. Yet I do like the fact that the big dragon that he frees ends up squishing him.
He survives the fall out the window.
Yeah, but he gets squished by the dinosaur dragon thing. I think it looks more like a dinosaur, not dragon.
I was thinking like T-Rex dragon or something.
Anime so far, but yeah, the fact that is just irony in its best.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's not the most satisfying death to a villain that just shows up for maybe an episode or so, mm-hmm. but it's still a pretty good, I'm trying to think what it is right now, but yeah, it's definitely a satisfying thing.
Yeah, and I really like how they actually did show Reptilia's side of things as well, her backstory. Because it kind of sets up the reason why, you know, everything the way it is. Although the one backstory I don't think we really ever got, and correct me if I'm wrong, is Malphite's. The only thing that we know is that he went to a bookstore, read a book, and that was that.
To be fair, that's all we really need to know. His story is starting when we pick up with him, I feel.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they do give the sort of like backstory, like, oh, he's a college student and he lives at home. And because because he saved one of his family members, his parents just give him money, and like, so he'll buy like mangas or light novels, and when he runs out of money, he goes mm-hmm. to the library mm-hmm. to like to go check him out. And that's all we really need to know when it comes to Naofumi backstory. Same with, like, we don't really need to know much about the bow hero, the sword hero, or the spear hero, because
the only thing we do know of at least all four of them is that three of them has played, video games.
Well, they're from different dimensions.
And that too.
Well, they're from different versions of Japan.
Oh, yeah.
They're in different dimensions of Japan, but like they're in different versions of Japan with the history and everything else is quite different. So they're from multiverse, I guess.
Right. Which also brings another thing too. And you were kind of talking about this broadly, kind of not like what we used to, but you know, the fact that, you know, towards like the end of the season, mid to end of the season, they end up finding out that even that world has different parallel dimensions or mm-hmm. universes. So
right, with the introduction of the character Glass, and for the life of me, I don't remember the name of the other two parts of the other two of the of that world's version of the heroes. And so yeah, but.
But see, I don't like, okay, so from what I understand, I'm sure that'll be explained more in season two, but so correct me if I'm wrong, but when they kind of mentioned like a little bit of Glass's backstory during the fight, or yeah, the second fight between Malfoy and her, and I guess she projected something because Malfoy, I guess, saw all that. But correct me if I'm wrong. So their world is also fighting the waves.
Yes.
But I'm not sure
if they're fighting waves.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out why exactly they're going after the Shield Hero, because I know they mentioned it, but I'm still not.
They're going after all four of the heroes. It's just that at the time that Naofumi first fights Glass only sees Naofumi as a worthy opponent besides the other three heroes. Because if you look throughout this first season, like the way that Naofumi sees the world that he's in is a lot different from what the other three heroes see, because Naofumi experiences this as a real world. Actually, real world physics apply, real world consequences apply, while the other heroes look at it as a video game. It's like, oh, like what happens when you complete a quest or complete a mission at any other video game? Whatever you're fighting, like say you're fighting a dragon or you're fighting some type of boss, and like it's like, oh, the boss goes away, and then like the mission restarts. It like right, just right. Like I remember playing WoW a long time ago. It's like, and the missions like you go will always respawn. Well, case in point, with the first dragon that Naofumi actually has to fight, the zombie dragon, it is said that the sword hero, which is Ren, fought it. Well, Ren just thought like, oh, I just fought it, it's going to go away and respawn. No, that's not how it works, because that has consequences, just like with when Moriatsu introduced that seed. Like, oh, this is a like this town is having a famine, let's give them this miracle seed, even though the town knew about this legend of this terrible seed that they should never use. They trusted the hero, they trusted Moriatsu blindly because he's a hero, therefore whatever he's doing must be good for the benefit. And it was Naofumi that had to clean up Ren and Moriatsu's, and even the bow hero, he had to clean up, sort of had to clean up the mess with which he thought he was liberating this one like village or country or whatever. Instead, like, oh, that king may have been cruel with the taxes, but the rebellion didn't do any better. And the rebellion, and like when that rebellion ended up, like, there's a lot of people that died because of that rebellion, like at the aftermath of that. But the bow hero didn't see it as like, oh, hey, I just completed this quest, I freed you, good to go.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, just to retouch on the whole idea of the two sides and the waves. It hasn't been answered yet in the anime as far as like season 1 through 3, but I do have my own thoughts as to what's going on. Have you ever played those attack and defense games where it's like you take a turn on defense, you take a turn on offense, and you're trying to beat the other team and score most points?
Yeah, I've played a couple of those. Yeah,
yeah.
That's how this feels, especially when Glass and I forget the other guy's name, but the guy with the scythe. When they always talk about, like, oh, they ran out of time. Why do they have a time limit?
Right. That's what I don't understand. And, like, the one thing is, I know Glass, like you said, Adam, was, you know, worthy opponent, but with the other two, let's say other Dimension Heroes, they were actually more trying to fight Malfoy and not the others, because they said, this isn't your fight, this is between us and Malfoy, because they said that they're like that he was the only target. That's what I was trying to
right. because of how Malfoy treats the, like, because he doesn't trust royalty, and you until like Melty and he meets the queen, he doesn't trust the royalty, such as because of the king and because of the first princess of like
I'm talking like the two outer worlds, calling them the two, those two had said that the shield hero is the one that is their target. My question is why are they only singling him out and not the other ones? I know part of it had to do with he didn't know that, you know, Malfoy's name was cleared, because he did mention while they were kind of the first time they met, he was referring to him as kiddo there for a minute, and then he didn't really. Maybe was putting on a front that he didn't believe that he was the actual shield hero. He thought maybe he was just a lookalike or something like that, or trying to pretend to be the shield hero. But no, but there was a line where they were saying on that ship that the shield hero was the one they're targeting, not the others. That's the one thing I didn't quite understand.
So I think it does come down to, and part of it's what I was bringing up, is how Malfoy does experience the world differently to the other heroes. Mm-hmm. When bringing up the other idea, like the different dimensions, different realities, each of the heroes experienced a bit of this world through a different lens. Malfoy, he picked up a book and he got very limited information about what this world actually was. Yeah, one of the heroes, he was playing it as a console video game controller and everything. So like he was in his living room playing this as a game. Another hero was a PC gamer, so he was a little bit more MMO about it. The last one was a VR gamer.
That was Ren, who was the VR gamer.
Exactly. So it's like they all had preconceived notions going into this world, what it was, except for Malfoy. Malfoy was the only one who was like, okay, I read a book that didn't tell me anything. So he's learning it firsthand. Like, oh, okay, you kill a dragon, it has a corpse. It's like the real world. And even he brings it up. It's like the other three heroes think of it like a game. They think, oh, you kill the dragon, it's going to despawn.
Right.
And that's one of the things I do like about Shield Heroes, is like it is really much like it plays with those ideas and those concepts of the video games. Like you have so many other isekais where it's like they don't want to do that. They don't want to play into a lot of that realism aspect, but Shield Hero does like to. I do enjoy that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And honestly, with the way they have everything set up, I mean, I like how it progresses. There are some funny moments, thankfully. And, you know, there's a couple of sad moments as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The whole, like, storyline, which I just got done with, was like, oh, Raftilia coming, like, to grips and even, like, facing her past, like, when it happened, she wasn't strong enough. But then, like, now she is able to come back, save the rest of the villagers that where she came from, and get back at the person that did it is just wonderfully done.
And I don't think she
so it works.
And I don't think she even realized where they were until they walked past Milky.
Right.
And that's when she realized where she was. So, but for her to actually go down there and they actually started finding people. Unfortunately, it wasn't one of the friends that she made. But
all but one was found alive.
Yep.
Which was a sad moment in through this, like, it is definitely a sad moment that her friend didn't make it, but everybody else did. But that's more like, that's something, sadly, that does happen.
Right. Now, I gotta love the queen. I'm sorry.
The what?
The queen.
And apparently, yes, I will.
Apparently,
yes, okay.
So when we finally actually really get to meet the queen, she's Melty's mom, basically, and her older sister.
It is her mother.
Yeah. I'm saying basically her mom.
Not basically. It is her mom.
That's what I'm saying.
Is Melky.
Yeah, I agree, Josh. Basically her mom.
Whatever, guys.
But goddamn, you piss her off? Holy shit.
Well, again, if the king would have listened to what the rules were, and even the filial queen even mentions, like, each of the countries in the world that they're in is supposed to get a separate hero. The king of Melomart messed up and summoned all four heroes instead, and the queen had to go to this, like, regency meeting to try to, like, put out the fires that the king raided. And even, whatever the king has against the hero, I think they sort of touch on, like, he lost his family, like, to the shield hero or whatever the case may be. But yeah, the queen has to actually clean up the mess of what the king did, because the king decided to summon all four of the heroes into one country.
And so the other thing too is the queen kind of knew what was going on because she has informants called the Shadows. And so they... Oh, what is her name? The sister? The older sister?
Oh, no? I know her new name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Besides that.
I know her new name.
You're right.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they put her on trial. They used her and the king, and they used the slave press, which I could actually see that being as controversial as it was, because I know Malfoy was like, wait, why are they using his slave press, basically? But when the queen said that she's a pathological liar, okay, a little harsh, but still, it still got the point across as far as, like, her basically still lying and, you know, obviously facing the punishment, but to put her husband and daughter to death, unfortunately, you know, sucks, but she had to make that choice once she made a ruling. And Malfoy kind of saw that, I think it was like after the trial, or before the trial, he could see her kind of shaking a little bit, her hand, knowing that, you know, she really didn't want to have to go through all this. But unfortunately, as a queen, you still have to do your job. So when they got the guillotines and all that up and running, and, you know, they... this is where that new name comes in. Malfinia was like, you know what? I think that, you know, they've learned their lesson. The crest didn't go off. So why don't we let them go with, like, certain, I can't remember all the conditions, but one of them was a new name. So we can say it. They said it. So why not? What's the new name? Danny.
Hashtag canceled.
Huh?
What?
What's her new name?
Oh, I don't know off the top of my head. I can't think of it. Adam, what's her name?
Yeah, I'm not saying either. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, go ahead, Josh.
This was in the anime, so whore. Right?
I think there was more to it than that, though, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm.
I think there was something. I don't remember off the
top of my head. Wasn't there, like, her normal name and then a adventuring name?
Oh, what was the adventuring name?
I'm not saying that.
And I just watched this episode, too.
Just go watch it. It is a fun episode to watch, and then we don't get
it. It is a fun episode. Just go watch the episode that when you get through it, it's a pretty, I think the episode is well done. The fact that, like, the queen was really betting on Naofumi to actually step in, and the fact that he did, like, which she didn't really want to put both of them to death. So it's a good thing that Naofumi actually did step in to sort of spare them, but also, like, they'll have to live in disgrace the rest
basically,
of their lives.
Yes.
And I will have to tell you, like, this the crest that mine, formerly known as mine, I don't know how she does it, but I think, like, later in the season, it's gone. I don't know how, but yeah.
Hmm. Oh.
Because
I noticed that. It's not
No. Later on in season, like, I think it's in season 3, she comes back and is like, it's not there.
No. It wasn't even there. It wasn't even there, like, when
they go to the islands? Yeah, it's still on there.
No. This was, There was another time I saw her without it after that, but there was when Malfini surprised Reptilia with having her old town back. I'm sorry, rebuilding it. I think during the credits or whatever, they were, or after the credits, they were showing, like, what everybody else was doing, and the spear hero, I guess, was talking to her, but I didn't see the crest.
Probably because it was covered up.
Probably, but still. Well, no, because you know what she wears. I mean, obviously you would see it, especially with Reptilia. And a few things that she's worn, you can still at least see, like, part of it.
True, but you can't see it with Philo. But then again, Philo is a Well,
yeah, but she's pretty well covered up with the cool dress that he has, which, by the way, Philo was basically an egg. And then...
He was a folio, yes.
Yes.
She still is a folio.
Well, she is.
But she's also, like, the potential for the next in line to be the folio queen when the current folio queen.
Which you wouldn't piss her off either.
Oh! But, yeah.
You know, I was thinking about that. I was literally thinking about that because... So she and Malfoy had talked.
Yep.
And then my guess is that she was telling him about, you know, Philo. And so I think that, and I think it also kind of shows us too after the fact. But I think Malfoy was in on it in order to for Philo to kind of prove, because I think after, they mention it was like a test?
The queen, the colonial queen did, but Malfoy, I don't think Malfoy was actually in on that.
He had to have been.
I don't think so.
I'll have to go back and rewatch it, but the way it felt afterwards when it was explained, I think that, you know, Malfoy was in on it, but just didn't really say anything. I kind of let it play out.
I think I remember something similar to that. I think he caught on. I don't think he was in on it, but I think he caught on to it.
Okay. Then that might be what I was picking up to then. But I could have sworn. But, you know, way the magic works too is pretty cool. But man, that's a lot of words to say just to, you know, do some magic.
Oh, I know.
Well, look at other animes that they actually do have to do, like, long spell casting.
Yeah, that's true.
Others are shorter, but others are longer than that. I mean, look at how they have to cast magic in SAO Abridged.
That's true. And, you know, honestly, with the way they have to train and everything else, it does remind me of Sword Art a bit.
I get that a bit. I think it's a lot of the idea, too, that is like they were trying to keep some things kind of more real. Like, Sword Art was definitely more of a game, but they were still keeping some things on that realistic.
Right.
Now, can I ask a question to both of you guys, because especially you, Danny. Now, from the isekais that I have watched, I have noticed that in almost every isekai, there's that like game mechanic as far as being able to see your stats and everything else, especially with the campfire cooking. What else? Well, full dive, obviously. That's game related. I know slime as well. Like, is that like in every isekai where like you can see your stats and everything like that, or are there isekais that do not do that? That you know of?
I mean, this is a hot take. It depends on who you talk to, but Dr. Stone doesn't do it. But it's not an isekai in the idea that it's a game of any sense. It's an isekai in the idea that he's in just a different time period.
Okay.
I think isekai actually mean that you get transported to another world.
Well, no,
see, and that's why there's a debate about
a different world.
So that's why there's a whole debate, Dr. Stone, because he's not transferred to a different world, but is he living in the same world he lived in when it froze?
They're still on Earth.
He's on the physical planet, but it's not the same world because it doesn't have the same things that his world had. He's trying to bring it back, and that's what we're following in the series.
But yeah, but
I would not consider Dr. Stone being an isekai.
So like I said, it's one of those ones that's heavily debated. There are people on both sides, people who do get caught up on the, well, it's not a different world, but then other people who are like, and anyway, I'm on that side. It's like, it's not the modern world. It's not the world he was raised in, lived in, did anything in.
Okay. Well, if you want to use that logic, what would you consider time machine?
Time machine?
What about the time machine?
Well, in the time machine, I forget the author's name, but like, oh, he's still on Earth, but he goes into the future, and like, and everything is completely changed. You have the creatures that live underground. You have the humans that live above ground. Like, if he travels in the future, is he still on Earth, or just like kind of with the Dr. Stone, is it a whole new world?
So the thing is, and I think this is where you're getting caught up on, it's not that he's leaving Earth, right? Even today, Adam, you go into a time machine and you go 200 years into the future. Are you on Earth?
So, yes.
Is it the same world you would know?
Well, no.
Or how much new would be there? How many things will be different? At what point is it considered the world that you know versus your Earth? Like, yeah, there's the term, there's the physical. Yes, it's always the same planet, but the world itself changes every 100 years. Even going 100 years in the past, America isn't the same that it was 100 years ago.
No, it wasn't.
And you have things, too, even way farther back, all the land was all one big, gigantic continent before it started breaking up into little continents. So it changes a lot.
So now I do argue that Dr. Stone is isekai just because it doesn't take you to a magical world or a video game or this or that. It is still fundamentally a different world than he's used to, even if it's the same Earth.
Well, think about Sliders.
Yeah, but
have you guys ever watched Sliders?
No, I haven't.
So Sliders, excuse me, basically, you know, they slide into different parallel Earths where, okay, they're on Earth, but everything is different. Like, they had one where, if I'm not mistaken, I think Germany actually conquered America. They've had a couple of different ones. You would really have to like find and watch, but there's just so many different parallel Earths. So I think that's kind of what you're going at, Danny, is the, like either time and also time. Cause they're not only like, traveling to different parallel universes, but there's also time differences as well, depending on like what era of that parallel Earth that they drop into. if I'm
well, it's like you, yeah. And in a lot of cases, especially on like a time traveling anime, that would be a very really good point. One of the reasons Dr. Stones is so debatable is because there was no machine or anything that's necessarily involved. With Dr. Stone, everyone on Earth was just turned to stone for some like 3,000 years. Like the whole Earth revegetified. No, very few remnants of human civilization are even around. And he woke up and he's like, well, I'm going to bring back the human civilization using science. So it's like, it is 100% the same Earth. It is just the amount of time that passes that makes it up for debate.
Okay. But with with Rising of the Shield Hero, I've certainly enjoyed watching it at the first time, and then now the second time watching it through. I'm definitely going to watch, you know, season 2 and 3, so I can't wait to do that. So, I'm sorry, Adam, you were trying to say something, and I kind of accidentally cut you off and went on a tangent, so my bad.
You know what? It probably wasn't important because I completely forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry, dude. Yeah, it's fine. One of these days, the three of us definitely need to get together in person again. At least for a recording. I don't think we've ever recorded in person except me and Adam. So we definitely need to.
I don't exist. It's okay.
Oh, trust me, dude.
I'm not a real person.
Oh, you are.
I will forever be a voice inside a box.
I definitely highly recommend, if anybody hasn't watched it, definitely watch it for sure. What about you guys?
Oh, it was definitely a good watch. A little creepy at the beginning, especially on rewatch.
Yeah.
But it's a good watch. I enjoy the show. A lot of good things to look at about it.
Yeah, I honestly, I've not watched this much anime since back in Toonami days. So I really do like doing this podcast, and you're expanding my anime. So definitely like revisiting this one, at least watching it wise, we never had a chance to record it.
Hey, it finally happened. Now don't lose the recording.
No, I will not.
I swear, if this is the episode that is never released.
It's fun. I'm looking forward to a lot of the other stuff they're going to be watching. So, So we've got a little bit of time here. So if you guys want to bring up anything, remember we record these in advance. So be careful what you say.
So, who wants to talk politics?
No. Oh, God, no.
No.
Oh, we started it with our first episode.
No.
No.
You're not jumping that subject. We'll touch on it briefly every once in a while, but I like it when we don't go into that area.
No, I agree.
I agree. Yeah, I'm not sure when this is dropping, but yeah, I just lost my train of thought. I'll cut that out. But no, I think it's about time we wrap it up. So, Danny, why don't you Why don't you start us off?
From Can't Decide If It's Hot or Cold, Wet, Rainy, Dry, Florida. Ciao.
From Springtime in Arizona, where it's slightly, gradually getting hotter and hotter. Johnny.
Can you see the camera? Never mind.
What?
Never mind. let's just say I was giving Adam the bird because I'm jealous now. From
what? The same,
nothing, dear. From
did you just nothing, dear him?
Don't call me dear. Although that's what my last name does mean. But anyway, I digress.
Okay. All fun aside, from the same situation as Florida, from Indiana. Later.
This podcast was founded by Joshua Keck and Adam Hart. Produced by Joshua Keck, Adam Hart, and Danny Steinbrecher. Edited by Joshua Keck. Music by Ari Epstein. Artwork by Kayla McClure. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thattimewestartedananimepodcast. On Discord at thattimewestartedananimepodcast. And on Patreon at patreon.com/thattimewestartedananimepodcast.